in the game starting now.
A hoax is a trick that's played upon people whereby they're told something is true which turns out to be completely inaccurate or indeed a lie. And one thinks of something like decimal currency when we were assured, weren't we, that our money would retain its value and we know we were done. And much the worst hoax that I can think of was played on poor Ramshi Garuba, forced to sit in that ring surrounded by six venomous cobras, and they said, you'll be all right because you've got your snake charmer's flute. But they did say that one of them was deaf. Now, he's actually come up, the sort of fear. He didn't worry, bashed them with his own...
Martin Jarvis, you pressed your buzzer.
There was a pause after worry.
For the first time ever, I've never heard Kenneth go with such fluency. And there's some pace, actually, because sometimes he does drag it out a bit, you know.
Yes, I actually know to drag, yes, drag it out. Not. I thought he was to drag it up.
I did think he was dragging it out a little bit.
Well, the important thing is here, he hasn't come dressed in drag, so at least we're safe on that.
And anyway, I am a guest, so I think I ought
to... Yeah,
and the marvellous thing is, being a guest, we've heard from you, even though I disagree with the challenge.
Oh, Nicholas.
So I'm afraid that I have to give Kenneth a point for an incorrect challenge, leave the subject with him and tell him he has 13 seconds to continue on a hoax starting now.
One was played in Portsmouth by...
Giles Brandreth's challenge.
Well, I thought it'd be all right to let him say one four times, but when we heard it for the fifth time, I felt that repetition came into play.
Oh. I only counted it...
Who asked him?
Well, I felt when we'd had six of one, having half a dozen of the other...
Well, actually, he asked himself. I must have put that one right here. The other thing is, as I have to count as well, I only counted four and you challenged for five.
But
so
you are innumerate, so that really doesn't count at all.
I don't think we should bring my sex life into this.
We weren't discussing your dyslexia. That's a different question. That's to do with the way you walk. We're talking about your innumeracy.
Yes, and I'm giving you plenty of... Martin, why have you pressed your buzzer?
Is this really just a minute? Have I come to the wrong game?
Well, what game did you think you'd come to?
I don't know. Was it quote-unquote or the travelling show? I don't know.
Well, it does go on like this a bit, and I had to make a decision on whether Kenneth said one five times, and I worked it out, then he said it four times. So, it was strictly speaking, and as you're not a guest for the first time, I have to give Kenneth the benefit of the doubt and say it was not five times he spoke one, therefore incorrect. 10 seconds, still with Kenneth, a hoax starting now.
A hoax was played on me?
Derek Nimmo's challenged.
Oh, played.
No.
Played?
Played. A hoax was played. He used the expression twice. Actually, he's used it three times. I've counted it right. I'll have it for the next 10 seconds.
Right at the beginning, he said about a hoax being played. You're quite right, Derek. Well listened. 9 seconds are left for you to take over the subject of a hoax starting now.
One of my favourite hoaxes was played by Baron de Rothschild of Wasden Manor. He invited 12 people for dinner. When they went in to dine, sitting around the table were 12 monkeys.
Well, at the end of 60 seconds, Ian Messiter blows his whistle, and whoever is speaking that moment gains the extra point. And it was Derek Nimmo, who is equal in the lead with Kenneth Williams at the end of the round. Our two regulars have points, and our two guests, I'm delighted to hear we've heard from them, but they have yet to score. Derek, will you take the next round? The subject, Paul's. There are 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
On the 17th of January, 1981, I poured myself a large drink and went into my sauna, which was turned up to rather an agreeable heat. The object of this was to open my pores and let out all the nasty oils and things that contained in my skin. I then went into a cold shower, and the pores closed up. I poured myself another glass and went outside. There was a cold...
Giles Brandreth, challenge.
We've had poured more than once, and indeed the glass with the drinking. Poured, yes. Repetition, yes. I'm afraid, there.
It's not pause is the word on the card which you can repeat, but you poured a drink, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a correct challenge. Giles, a point to you, and there are 37 seconds. Pause starting now.
My favourite paws are those belonging to my sweet little dog called Fido. A sophisticated creature, I...
Martin Jarvis.
I don't think Giles has a dog called Fido.
I don't think
he has a dog at all.
I'm sorry, we don't allow him down into the kitchen. That's the only place we've ever been in our house.
No, I have not. I have never been in the kitchen in your
house.
Well,
the thing is, I don't know whether he has a dog called Fido or not, and we are allowed flights of fantasy in just a minute. Otherwise, we'd never be able to get going half the time, Martin.
Well,
so,
all right.
Sorry, I can't agree with
well,
you.
Well, all right.
31 seconds, still with you, Giles. Pause, starting now.
Let me spell this Sheik Pooch's name. P-H-Y-D-E-A-U-X. A most remarkable animal with really elegant paws at the end of his tootsies. Now, I went for a tour dressed as the dog Snoopy, and people queued up around the block to get my paw print on the books that I was promoting at the time. It is extraordinary when you are dressed in an animal skin that is 7 foot tall, because your paws are a long, long way from your snout, which isn't wet in
Derek
any sense.
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
Definition of long, long.
Actually, it would be very unfair if I said it wasn't a repetition of long, long. It's just a repetition of long. You've been very cleverly got in with 1.5 seconds to go on pause, starting now.
I once did pause for thought early morning on the radio.
So at the end of that round, Derek Nimmo was again speaking when the whistle went, so he's now in a lead, ahead of Giles Brandreth, who got points in that round. Kenneth is next, and then Martin Jarvis, who begins the next round. Spooks. Will you tell us something about those in the game, starting now?
People in Scotland might consider spooks to be metal wires in the middle of bicycle wheels, but in fact, spooks are ghosts or things that go bump in the night or ghouls. I myself have encountered 2 spooks in my life. The first spook that I met was at the Theatre Royal Brighton, after a production of The Heiress on the first night. And I was in my dressing room, and I was washing my face, and I felt a strange tap on my shoulder. I turned round, and there was nothing there. I rushed down the corridor. I had a word with the man who was at the, which is...
Giles.
Her is really rhyming slang for her, and I don't know that it's entirely irrelevant to this particular comment.
You're quite right, Giles. So you have a correct challenge, another point and 30 seconds on spooks, starting now.
When I had a tap on my shoulder, I found if I turned it, hot water came out. And that was really a kind of hallucinatory experience, which is really a ghastly as well as a ghostly thing to happen. Do you know that actually what I wear on my nose when I'm in a mood for...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Actually...
Yes, because he said, you actually know, and what I actually wear on my nose. Well done, Derek. Well, listen, 16 seconds are left with you, spooks, starting now.
The most awful ghost that I've ever come across happened to me in Compton Wynyards in Warwickshire, the seat of the Marquess of Northampton. He'd opened up a tiny room which had been boarded up for 150 years and found on the floor a skeleton and round about it with the remains of a woman's clothing, and she had... Oh.
So, Derek Nimmo kept going with his spooks and his name dropping until the whistle went and has gone back into the lead alongside Giles Brandreth. Kenneth Williams follows and he also takes the next round. Kenneth, the Bermuda Triangle. Will you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
This is a section delineated on the map by so many degrees longitude and the same amount latitude. You follow me? And it's an area into which craft, be they ships or aeroplanes, have been alleged to totally disappear. And nothing has been heard of the crew or passengers aboard. And consequently, it has gone into the annals of fable and referred to by mariners afield. Oh, don't ye go into the Bermuda Triangle. Oh, you'll never be heard of again. And consequently, Cornishmen don't bother with it. Mind you, it's a long way from that county, so it's just as well that they don't. I don't go myself.
Giles Brandreth, listen well.
Three don'ts in a very short space of time.
Yes, there were. You did say don't 3 times very rapidly. Giles, another point. And you've got in cleverly with 5 seconds to go on the Bermuda Triangle, starting now.
The Bermuda Triangle is a beautiful instrument that they play so delightfully.
So Giles has gone back into the lead. Derek Nimmo, your turn to begin. The subject, Sri Lanka. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Going up country to Kandy through tea plantations and those of rubber similarly planted...
Giles.
Hesitation, I'm afraid.
Yes, I think that's interpreted as hesitation. There are 42 seconds for you, Giles, on Sri Lanka starting now.
I remember Ronald Reagan once saying to me that one should never name drop, but when I was in Sri Lanka...
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation, the subject is Sri Lanka. It isn't Ronald Reagan or name dropping that he was completely...
I was about to speak of Mrs.
We're not interested in what you were about to speak, dear. We are given a subject, you're supposed to name it.
Right, so I think he had deviated and hadn't established what he was going to in time. All right. So, Kenneth, you have the subject of Sri Lanka, and you're obviously dying to say something about it, and you have 37 seconds to do so, starting now.
As a young soldier, I was stationed on this island in a place called Kurunegala, which is the old capital, dominated by Buddhist statues and a wonderful rock called after the elephant, up which I travelled and arrived back to camp late. And they said, "Where's your duty slip?" And I said, "I always wear khaki drill." And I did go on to Colombo wearing my bush hat and came ashore with the teeth gleaming and then said, "Well, are you one of Wingate's boys?" And I'm one of Colgate's girls. And he said, "Well, it went out there."
Now you know why he wanted the subject of Sri Lanka, because he really did have something to tell us about it. And, Kenneth, you kept going to the end without being interrupted. You gain a point for speaking, and you're still in third place. But only 1 point behind Derek Nimmo, and only 4 points behind our leader, Giles Brandreth, but a few ahead of Martin Jarvis. Giles, you begin the next round. The subject is, the last time I pulled a cracker. That is a subject that can be interpreted any way you wish, and you have 60 seconds in which to try, starting now.
The last time I pulled a cracker was in 1968. Her name was Brenda, and she had a pair of enormous twin brothers called Fatty and Pooh.
Martin.
Repetition. Twin brothers.
What I do for clever challenges, because he wasn't deviating within the rules of the game, is to give you a bonus point, Martin, for a clever challenge. And, of course, Giles gets one for being interrupted, which is always difficult in just a minute. But he continues with 51 seconds, the last time I pulled a cracker, starting now.
She was no ordinary cracker. If you pulled her at both ends, she didn't go off with a bang. But at Christmas time, it was very festive in her household because they produced the more traditional kind of cracker that many of us think of. And indeed, the one I found my favorite was the one where you opened it out and you read an amusing motto along the lines of, "Don't worry if your job is small and your rewards are few. Remember that the mighty oak was once a nut like you." Now, what I think is good about this cracker
Martin
motto
Jarvis.
Is that...
He said you about four times.
Yes.
He's very particular about that sort of thing, isn't he, Giles?
Yes, Giles is very particular, yes. So I have to give the benefit of Andrew.
We're rather
non-human over here. Yes, because you had, it's the word, how it sounds on the ear. He had a U-Y-O-U and Y-E-W, and it was repeated too often, so
absolutely,
well
Nicholas.
Done.
Absolutely.
Martin, you have 22 seconds, the last time I pulled a cracker, starting now.
You may not believe this, but the last time I pulled a cracker was, in fact, this morning, because I'm moving house, and my wife and I were clearing up a whole lot of rubbish. And we pulled this cracker, and we found a little motto inside it. And it said, "What is yellow and swings across cake?" And the answer was Tarzipan, which I didn't think was very good. But it is exactly the sort of thing that you find in a cracker.
Martin Jarvis was then speaking as the whistle went and gained the extra point, and he's now creeping up on Kenneth Williams as ahead of him and the others who are a little further ahead. Martin, it's your turn to begin. The subject is how to make friends with a centipede. What a ridiculous subject that Ian Messer has thought of. Can you try and talk on that one for 60 seconds starting now?
The best way to try and make friends with a centipede is to say, "Hello, Cedric, what marvellous legs you've got." I would then suggest that he met my brother-in-law, who is the manager of a shoe shop, because I think it would be an excellent thing for my friend, the centipede, to go to my brother-in-law and see if he could get some shoes off him at a cheap rate. The other way of making friends with a centipede would be to say, "What a lovely pair of walkers you have," because if you want to really get to know a centipede, you've got to be nice to a centipede. The other way of trying to get on good terms with this centipede would be probably...
Giles Brandreth has challenged.
I beg your pardon?
Giles has challenged you.
Well, I thought he was indicating that he was wanting to hesitate.
I think he went even further. I think he did, actually.
Well, I was trying to say discreetly.
I beg your pardon?
And also we had a couple of repetitions earlier of shoes.
No, yes, shoe.
But it's the first time, your first challenge is the one. But no, I agree, he did actually hesitate. So you have 24 seconds, Giles, on how to make friends with a centipede, starting now.
The best way to make friends with the centipede is to introduce it to Nicholas Parsons, because he is innumerate and therefore won't upset you by reminding you, if you're a centipede, that you don't have actually 100 legs, but only 37, which is a curious fact about these little creatures that is not generally known, in the same way that millipedes...
Derry never challenged.
They've generally got 38.
You haven't met my friend Long John Centipede.
I think I will put this one to the audience, because I'm sure they will obviously know how many legs a centipede has. So if you think a centipede has 38 legs, you cheer for Derek Nimmo. And if you think he's only got 37 legs, you boo for Giles, and you all do it together now. You're all used to centipedes with a false leg. So, Giles, the audience were on your side.
The nation has spoken. It's rather gratifying.
Yes, and you have 6.5 seconds on the subject starting now.
How to make friends with a centipede is to tell them jokes. For example, what does the queen do when she burps? She issues a royal pardon. Now, this is the sort of gag...
So Giles has increased his lead at the end of that round. Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. The subject is slot machines. Will you tell us something about those in the game, starting now?
A friend of mine was on Southend Railway Station, and he put the coin in a weighing machine, and it spoke. You are 9.5 stone and have missed your train. Absolutely furious. Although there are other kinds, such as you find in Las Vegas, so I'm told, where you win an awful lot of money if a certain series appears on the dial. I wouldn't approve of such things myself, because I think that gains of any kind in this world should be made honorably and honestly. And I don't like gambling, because I think it's a shortcut. And we should all of us, whether we're hanging it out in just a minute, or whether we're frightened...
Talking about hanging it out. You've never hung it out for so long. Every word became four syllables when there were only two sometimes. But nobody challenged
you. Have you ever listened to a playback of this show when you're on? Have you ever listened?
Well, I know
you hang it out yourself, either.
I do speak quite rapidly sometimes. Only Giles and Derek can probably beat me. But, no, nobody can speak as slowly as you and not actually pause, Kenneth. But you did keep going, saying fewer words than anybody's ever spoken in 60 seconds without pausing. And you get a point, of course, for speaking as the whistle went, and a bonus point for not being interrupted. And you're equal in second place to Derek Nimmo, behind Giles Brandreth and ahead of Martin Jarvis. And, Derek, you begin the next round. The subject, Derek, is duck. Can you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
Actually, duck is one of my favorite birds. I remember going to a little Chinese restaurant in Hong Kong, and there I had duck's tongues, 12 of them, on the plate, and when I put them into my mouth, it was like having a French kiss in triplicate. It was the most extraordinary sensation I've ever had.
Martin Jarvis has challenged.
Repetition in triplicate.
Oh, I gave you a bonus point for the twins. You want another one for the triplicate?
Yes, please.
All right, he's trailing a little. Give him the bonus point.
Thank you very much.
Point to Derek, because he was interrupted and stops the flow, and he continues with the subject of duck on 46 seconds, starting now.
Actually, Giles Brandreth once allowed me into his kitchen to have a little duck with Fifi, who was sharing it with me, on the floor. We pulled a cracker together and then consumed the duck. And I must say, his
yes?
canine...
I thought it was Fido, not Fifi.
Yes,
Fifi
actually.
Fido's the dog.
No, Fifi isn't the wife. But also...
But he had a little duck with Fifi on the floor.
Exactly. And, of course, that is a repetition of Fee, wasn't it, as well, Martin?
I didn't even bother to mention that because I thought it was so obvious.
Yes, I know. I know. And I'm glad you didn't, because it would have been... But still, you have a point and you have 35 seconds on duck starting now.
One of the most shaming things of all in cricket is to score a duck. I have scored a duck many times, particularly when I played for the Old Wick Giftians. I used to go in there with such good ideas about scoring 100.
Giles has challenged.
Well, we had scored twice
yes.
earlier on.
Yes, and yes.
If it had been getting vastly amusing, one would have allowed it to go on. But...
Oh, you are condescending.
Well, only because cricketing stories are not my métier, not my bag.
No, no, and you don't want too many people to score in just a minute, in any sense of the word.
I want to talk about ducks, that's why.
You're going to talk about ducks, and you have 24 seconds in which to do so, starting now.
What is the best thing to put into duck pâté? Your teeth, of course. Now, I happen to be an expert at cooking with these little feathered friends. The most difficult part, of course, is plucking them, because once you have caught hold of them and wrung their necks...
Martin Jarvis.
You keep saying of them, of them.
Yes, you did say of them before.
I concede that.
Yes.
And also, if I may say so, I didn't think it was very amusing either.
You're dead right.
Yeah, you're quite right, yes, and he wanted the subject so badly, didn't he? So he really, he slipped up there. There are 7 seconds for you, Martin, having got the subject back of duck starting now.
I find the best way to carve duck is with a pair of poultry shears. What you do is open them very wide and put them right over the top of the duck.
So, first-time guest Martin Jarvis was again speaking as a whistle wind, gained more points, and he's gone ahead of Derek Nimmo by one, but he's still trailing a little behind Giles Brandreth. Kenneth's in fourth place, Giles begins the next round, and the subject is busking, Giles. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
It is an unusual form of busking that I indulge in, because I dress up as an Oriental, by name Confucius, and I dance about on the pavement and I give people truthful sayings. For example, I offer...
Derek Jarvis.
Well, I think it must be adjudged to be a hesitation.
It was.
Otherwise
even
he was
in,
going
even
to the
dentist. Even in...
even in truth hurty, you see, it's all yes. Oriental.
Yes, but even in Confucian terms, it was still a hesitation in just a minute, so there are 40 seconds for Derek to busk, or on the subject of busking, starting now.
Oh, gosh, I used to love the old buskers in London Town. Do you remember the happy wanderers outside the Odeon in Leicester Square, dancing up and down the sand walk they used to do as well, which was so vastly entertaining, people with banjos, and sometimes just with gramophone records that they used to wind up and then go into all kinds of fairy-like perambulations, which may not be last.
Giles is challenged.
He's clearly on the way to the dentist as well.
Why the dentist?
Oh, well, because that was an allusion back to what we'd said before, you see. Derek,
Aunt, is this a new rule? We're not allowed to go to the dentist.
No, I just want to know why...
You were hesitating.
I know what you said, hesitating, but you didn't say it. You were talking about the dentist. You were being far too clever.
Clearly for you, I was, and half but I audience. Think the listeners will understand.
Yes. But we do get letters from Hong Kong and Singapore and places in the East where they...
Particularly about
do...
duck's tongues, I think.
Yes. So, Derek, I disagree with the challenge. You keep the subject. There are 13 seconds on busking starting
in
now.
Tragedy.
Martin Jarvis challenged.
That was another excellent demonstration of dentistry.
I disagree. I don't know what all this dentist is about.
He was opening his mouth, but nothing was coming out.
You should have your teeth examined.
I'll take them out and pass them to you if you really want. I honestly, these subtle illusions defeat me. There are 11 seconds for you on busking, Derek, starting now.
I found once a fellow telling duck jokes in the street. He said, what's the difference between a duck? Both of the legs are...
Martin Jarvis.
Duck.
Twice, I think. Duck jokes and what's the difference between duck? Two ducks.
Two ducks. Yes. So, Martin,
I'm not
you have 4.5 seconds.
Duck is allowed, because isn't duck the word?
No, busking is the word. And it was the subject that you started with.
You're quite right.
And as you're always on the ball and your brain is far more alive than
it is. I'm afraid the Valium's beginning to wear off.
4.5 seconds with Martin Jarvis on busking, bringing the round and the show to a close, alas, starting now.
One of my favourite places for observing busking is Saint-Germain-des-Prés in France, where they have mime artists.
Well, as I said a moment ago, the show is coming to an end, and that last whistle tells us we have no more time, and let me give you the final score. Well, in just a minute, the scores aren't important. It is a contribution they make. And as usual, Kenneth gave more than adequate. But he finished in fourth place once again. Our other regular, Derek Nimmo, gave his usual tremendous value and surprisingly finished in third place, behind our first-time guest, Martin Jarvis, who was only 3 points behind our winner this week. No, I'm sorry, I can't do... I'm enumerate, I'm sorry. It is 5 points behind this week's winner, Giles Brandreth. Our congratulations. Congratulations to our guests and to our regulars and to our audience. But particularly our listeners, we hope you've enjoyed it as much as we've enjoyed playing it. Until next week, same time, goodbye. Cheerio. Thank you.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.